I like lists, if you'll take your outline out today. Now, not lists, but lists. I always have. I like David Letterman's Top 10, used to watch it just to catch that now and then, although now we DVR Jimmy Fallon, and I just love his superlatives on Friday night, if any of you know what I'm talking about. They are hilarious. I like watching the Arizona Cardinals be listed number 2 in the power rankings of the NFL on ESPN. All of you with me, say amen. Thank you. 15 of you. That's wonderful. Kansas City Chiefs, though, were number 5. Can we hear an amen? That was exciting this week. Then Thursday night, they tanked it against the O and whatever Oakland Raiders, so they probably will drop drastically. I like the blacklist. Carl and I DVR it, kind of a date night every night. Years ago, though, my staff used to make fun of me because when I would be interacting with them in my office, I would always have a yellow stick'em pad there, and it just was by habit. I would just jot something down and stick it on my monitor of my computer monitor, and a few minutes later, I'd jot it again, and they kind of became kind of a joke about the way I interact with them. Now I use it all on my phone, but now just a couple years ago, one of them that was on our staff is now senior pastor, and he called me, and he said, Jeff, I just have to tell you what I did the other day because it really scared me, but he said I was sitting meeting with somebody, and all of a sudden, I grabbed a yellow stick'em pad. I started jotting things down and flopping them on my desk, and he said, it just scared me. It was like, I'm becoming like you, you know. But tonight we'll start down a list of characteristics, and the next 2 Sunday nights will be very fun for me. I love going through the motivational gifts of Romans 12, and we will note one in particular as a gift that I believe God gives the body of Christ, and this particular one loves lists. They love to write lists and check it off and keep track of where they're going. Well, lists are very important in Scripture. I learned a long time ago that as you're reading through the Bible, anytime you come to a list, it is worth you noting because they are there. It is full of them, and they're there with good reason. There's, of course, the 10 Commandments. We have the 9 fruit of the Spirit. We have right in that same text, Galatians 5, the list of the sinful nature. We have the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Again, tonight we'll be looking at the 7 motivational gifts of Romans 12. We have those lists of names and more names called the genealogies. Some of those can be a killer, but they are important as well. And so lists are pretty easy typically for us to pick up on as we're going through Scripture. And today I want to look at a list that is an important one for the church. As we look at this, it's not just important for the church, but our church. And it's another reason why I love our church. And just to get it right off the offset here this morning out there, I love our church because it helps me grow spiritually with others. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. We've looked at several reasons, but that's another reason to love our church. It helps us grow spiritually with one another. Let's start here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to ask you to keep your Bible or your handheld open to this, because as we are about to read, this is one single sentence in virtually every translation you'll read. The NIV breaks it down into 2 sentences, but it's very wordy, and it's easy to kind of get lost in it as we read. So I'm going to read a little bit slowly, and I want you to really focus, okay? And then you can go into your nap time, but I really want you to focus right now, okay, as we read this. His divine power has granted us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Now, I would recommend don't state sentences like that in common conversation. It's a long one. It's a mouthful. Kind of though, I see it like an unfolding. It's almost like a ladder that folds, or a map before we had GPS, and you unfold it, and it just keeps unfolding the truths. That's kind of what Peter is doing here. But all of it springs from that first phrase there. I want you to note in verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The NIV, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. I don't know the number of times I've quoted that, but it has been numerous times that I've been with a young couple and they are struggling in their marriage. And I have finally said to them as a Christian couple, listen, His power has given you everything you need for life and for godliness, and that includes your marriage. People that are struggling in an area of temptation or an area of sin, having a hard time. Many people have said to me through the years, I don't know if I can make it, Pastor Jeff. And I've said to them, but listen, His word says that God's power has given you everything that you need for life and for godliness. It's a revolutionary fact. As we embark on our journey with Christ, we have to realize God is there to see us all the way through. And that is what Peter is writing about here. And I want us to take a step back and just quickly kind of walk through each of these phrases to this lengthy sentence here that he gives us. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and goodness. Aren't you thankful to know about God? Aren't you glad that your knowledge in God can grow? It is through that knowledge, he says, Peter says, that we know then that we have everything that we need for life and for godliness through that knowledge. And it says, to His own glory and excellence. Some translations, by His own glory and excellence. Either way it works. It is out of God's glory and His excellence that we are called to be His children, that He extends to us His grace, His very nature, His splendor and His radiance, His excellence, His virtues. And of course, the goal of that is that we then in turn reflect His glory. We in turn reflect the goodness of God, the splendor of God, the righteous, wonderful acts of God. Verse number 4, by which, from His glory and excellence, He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. Aren't you thankful for the promises of God? And it's out of those promises that we even receive this initial promise. Verse number 3, that in Him we have everything that we need for life and for godliness. That's one of His promises. But it's by those promises, he says, so that through them, verse 4 later, through those promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Now that's a big statement. We become partakers of His divine nature. Now, we know we don't become gods. That's Mormonism. That's within other types of religions. We know we don't become gods. We don't become little gods, but we want to become like God. 1 John 1 says that we will know Him, for we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And anyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself. What hope? That one day we will be like Jesus. We will be in His image, fully in His image in that day, looking ahead to that day. But we participate in His nature even now, Peter is saying. The moment we become a follower in Christ, what happens? If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. I was just speaking to someone this week telling me an amazing story that we will talk about early in the year, January, the first Sunday. We're going to have him share a little bit about this, but he has just led one of his friends from high school to Christ, and this man has had an incredible transformation in Christ, and he is 76 years of age. How many know it's never too late to come to Jesus? And it's an incredible story, and that man is so excited, and his wife is observing the life change in him. Why is that the case? Because God now lives within that man. He is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is a new creature in Christ Jesus. He is beginning now to participate in that divine nature as Christ lives within him, so that through those promises, we become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. A lot of this is looking forward. A lot of this is looking ahead. We can look forward to a day that we will say goodbye to this world forever. No more temptations of sin. No more of the things of this world that we realize is so dark and in this present age, but it's in every age it's been that way. But before we get too focused on that day, we realize Peter is giving us a promise here that we can escape that corruption even now as we live in this world. And it all starts back, verse number 3, His divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So take your outline out, if you will, because I want us to read this together. But first, fill in number one, if you will. We have everything we need to live for God. That's the first thing Peter is driving home here. You have everything you need from God to live for Him, to live this life for Him, and to live godly for Him. Matter of fact, if you look at it with me on our outline, we have everything that we need to live for God through our knowledge of Him, by and to His glory and excellence, through His promises to us, by His divine life that is in us, both in the future and even now, so that we may be holy for Him. Let's read it together, would you? Let's read this together out loud. We have everything we need to live for God, through our knowledge of Him, by and to His glory and excellence, through His promises to us, by His divine life in us, both future and even now, so that we can be holy for Him. That's a mouthful, but it's good. God has blessed us so much. And He has opened the way for us to have this incredible salvation in His Son, Jesus. Let's read on, for it doesn't stop there. Verse 5, for this very reason then, everything that He said in those first two verses there, 3 and 4, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And there is your list. It's a good one. Eight qualities there. Each one of these qualities, not just things to make you a better person, but it's a point again to God's glory and to God's goodness that we reflect Him and they're lived out in our lives. What are the qualities? They are faith, virtue. Virtue means excellence in our character, knowledge, self-control, that we control our desires and our passions. Steadfastness means patience and endurance through the trials of life. Godliness, brotherly kindness, and then love, agape love. Brotherly kindness, Philadelphia. In the Greek, meaning brotherly love, brotherly kindness, and then agape love, the highest form of love. A lot of translations say that we're to add these things to our faith. A better rendering of that is that we supply generously, or we provide for, ESV here. We supplement these things, beginning with our faith. It is that through our faith in, we develop these things. We supply our faith with character, with virtue, and we supply our virtue with knowledge, and we supply our knowledge with self-control, and so on. It's like we're exercising these qualities in our life. And we'll see in a moment that Peter was so intent on the church capturing these eight qualities. Again, go back though to verse 3 and 4. The only way we can do this is obviously through God. This isn't a self-help course. It's not you gritting your teeth and saying, I want to have perseverance, or I want to have godliness, or I want to have self-control. It's not like that. These things come how? They come through our knowledge of Him, by and to His glory and excellence, through His promises to us, His divine nature living within us, so that we can be holy for Him. But notice verse number 5, we are to make every effort to supplement these things to our faith. So what are we doing? We're working with God. It's much like Philippians chapter 2. We have that cooperative work with God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to do His good will and pleasure. So we are working and God is working. Who provides the work of our salvation? Only through Jesus. And yet Paul said to the Philippians, be working out your salvation with fear and with trembling because God is working with you. It's a divine partnership. In other words, we don't just become a follower of Jesus and then just suddenly start lounging and just resting and waiting. No, there are things for us to do. Even pertaining to our salvation, we are to be working. The second point here, we need to be active then in our faith. Add these things, supplement these things to your faith. By growing in certain qualities, there's eight of them here, which is our choice, by the way, and it carries major consequences, but we need to be active in our faith. Matter of fact, why don't we state that together? Look at that second arrow and let's read it together. We need to be active in our faith by growing in certain qualities, which is our choice and carries major consequences. You'll read the choice and the consequences as we read further, verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you be saved and yet ineffective? Apparently so. Can you be saved and yet not produce fruit with your life? Apparently so. Plenty can say they know Christ, but if these qualities aren't in them, the word they're increasing, it means in the Greek abounding or even superabounding. In the sense of these things, if they're not overflowing out of our lives, then we become in danger of being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge that we have of Christ Jesus. Well, what are the things? Again, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Verse number 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he has been cleansed from his former sins. So this is serious here. Peter is laying down a major truth here that we have everything in God we need to live for him, to live our lives for him, to be productive for him. But there are things that we have to do, and he's calling us. There's an urgency in Peter. Actually, verse 10, 12, and 15, we note the urgency. Peter explains that he's about to die. I don't know how he knew that, but he knew he was about to die. By church tradition, he was in Rome at that point, crucified upside down. He died a horrific martyrdom. And so Peter says, I know my point of departure is about to come, but I want you to note in verse 10, and again in verse 12, and again in verse 15, let's look at it. Verse 10, therefore, brothers, in light of all of this, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. That's a very important little word, if there. It's conditional here in the original language. And I always think when I read this, well, then what happens if I don't practice these qualities? Because if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. What happens if I don't practice those qualities? Verse 10 again, therefore, brothers, be all the more eager or diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you may know them and you are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in the body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. These qualities, they're huge to Peter. He says, I'm making sure that you will remember. I want to remind you so you'll not forget these qualities, that they would be superabounding in you so that you won't be ineffective and unproductive, so that you won't fall away, he says, that you will keep them, so you won't be spiritually blind. What are they again? They are faith and virtue and knowledge and self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So let's bring it home today. How can I apply this text to my heart today? Well, three things are pretty obvious here. The first thing is that we play a part in this thing. Do you realize how many times as you're reading, especially the New Testament, to take our salvation in Christ, do you realize how many times there are challenges for you to do something about your faith, to do something with your faith, that you are playing a part in your spiritual life and growth? The whole model of Ephesians 4 is a good example, where it says that Jesus gives to the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And then he begins to explain how he wants the whole body of Christ to do what? To grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ Jesus. Similar theme of what Peter is saying here. He wants us to grow in our faith. And we're not talking here church growth where it's a matter of numbers inside of a building. We're not talking about the latest seminar of a man that had a church of 100 that went to 1,000 or 1,000 that went to multiple thousands, and pastors or church leaders scurry to say, how do we grow the church? It's not talking about that. It is speaking about you as the church, that each of us are growing into Christ, becoming more and more like him, that we are growing spiritually in him. Peter, in the first letter that he wrote, put it this way, and here comes another list. He said, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. See, when we're born again, it's almost you. He takes that analogy of a little physical baby that has to have the milk and has to grow then and move on into deeper things. Hebrews 5, the writer, says the same thing. Let's move on to the deeper things of God. It's that we grow spiritually as newborn babies crave that milk, but then later we need to be eating the milk or the meat of his word. Paul said to the Colossians, walk in a manner that's worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. He noted to the Thessalonians that their faith was growing more and more. To the Corinthians, he wrote, I hope that your faith would continue to grow. And Peter ends this letter that we're looking at today. He ends this letter with these words, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. To the day of eternity, amen. Who's involved here? You are. I am. We are. So the first thing is, obviously, we play a part. The second thing is, we must then be intentional. We aren't going to supplement these things to our faith without intentionality. Peter puts it here. Make every effort to do these things. Now understand, we are solely dependent upon God for our salvation. It's not that at all. We're not working our way to be saved. There's no way. Paul made it so clear. It is by grace that we're saved. It is a free gift, no question about it. But everything we read here that Peter is challenging us to as well, it is a gift of God that God gifts us. He challenges us to work with God. The effort that we are to put in as God is working upon us, that we are working with God. And so we see an intentionality here. Again, Peter says, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and your election. Diligence requires intentionality. If you want to have good relationships, you're going to go after those relationships. If you want to know how to handle your finances well, you're going to have to discipline yourself to budget and to watch your spending and start tithing and giving and all of that. If you want to break a barrier in your life, something that you have wrestled with and struggled with, you're going to have to in some way be diligent. You might meet with a pastor for pastoral counsel, or you may go to a professional counselor. You may get with a brother or a sister in Christ and have an accountability partner. It's going to take diligence, because if you want to grow spiritually, you're going to have to intentionally grow spiritually. That's what Peter's saying. That's what Paul is saying. That's what the New Testament says. Because the truth is, we all share one common goal. You know why Peter is so emphatic about these qualities? Because to him, he's an old, worn down apostle about to give his life for Jesus. And he wants his audience to note these eight qualities. So he mentions them several times. And he says, and when I leave, when I depart, I want to come back to this. I want you to be sure to remember those qualities that I try to lay into your heart and your lives. Verse 3, that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Verse 10, so brothers, be diligent to confirm your election and your calling, because if you practice these things, you'll never fall. Verse 11, and then what will happen? For in this way, they will be richly provided then for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom
of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What was Peter after? Peter was after eternity. What mattered to Peter was he wanted everybody reading his letter to make it there. He wanted to go there, and he wanted everyone else to go there. See, as a church, we share a lot of things together. We share relationships. We share chilly nights that are very anointed, I might add. Amen? We share small group events. We share life's pains and trials. Recent weeks, it's been one loss after another. And today we share with Norbert and the Langridge family that all be here in the 10:30 service together. And Lucille's passing was just so sudden. She was at the Sam's breakfast Sunday morning and then suddenly didn't feel very well. And the entire day progressively at the hospital, and she passed away about 5 o'clock. See, we never know, do we? We just never know. And Norbert's standing so strong and his family with him. But you know what? It just points out the fact what matters more than anything else in this room is eternity. That we share eternity together. Is there anything more important? Last Wednesday morning here, as we celebrated the life of Mike Fortner, I said to his three boys afterwards, I said to Nathan, I said to Zach and to Anthony, I said, guys, I don't even know how to put it other than to say that was absolutely a perfect funeral. And that's a strange thing to say, but it was. It was a celebration. By the time I stood here to bring the word, I almost felt like just saying amen to everything that had been said, because I realized a man who his life had been changed as a young man, and he had lived his life for the Lord. It wasn't a perfect life, and yet he led so many people to a picture of Jesus through the way that he conducted his affairs. It's what Peter is challenging us to do here. As Diana said to me many times, oh, we're just ordinary people. She'd always says that to me. Oh, we're just ordinary people. No. Mike was an extraordinary man. So Tuesday night, as I'm speaking over in the multipurpose hall, I kept coming out in between breaks when I could, and I'd look, and the line literally went all the way from the chapel altar area, the front area, all the way out, all the way across the hall, all the way to Campbell's doors, and it lasted. Many of you were here. It lasted over 2 hours like that. 2 solid hours. Why? Not to glorify Mike, but to say Mike loved Jesus, and he was a good man. And these qualities, he's a good example of what Peter is saying here. I wonder how different we all might be in how we interact with others if the most important thing that we focused on was eternity. How different might we treat one another? How different might we approach life itself every day, just everyday living? Because, you know, truthfully, in the end, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And there's so many things that entertain us. And I bring up just silly things at the beginning of this message as I talk about lists and things. But they're part of everyday life. And there's nothing wrong with things that we enjoy. God wants you to enjoy life, but he wants you to enjoy eternal life even more. And that's his greatest concern. See, the whole point of the series is this. We don't want you to come to church just to check off your list and say, well, I got that done. Let's move on with my day and then on with my week. No. We want you to love your church for the various reasons we've talked about. But I can't think of one that is more important than the reason that we grow spiritually here together. That's what we're called to do. That's what our worship is all about. And that's why we have to be intentional about our worship. That is the orchestra or the worship team, as Pastor Tom, whoever is leading us, as they begin to lead us into worship, that all of us intentionally, we join in. Why? Because this is an eternal moment. Our destiny is to stand around the throne of God one day and to worship him forever. And trust me, it will never be boring there. It shouldn't be boring here. How can it be boring to sing, oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Because we worship him with intentionality. We're dealing with eternal things. That's what our word is all about. Whether it's taught from this pulpit, whether on a Wednesday night, as Mike did an awesome job this past Wednesday night, whether it be on a Sunday evening, as we'll teach through those gifts in Romans 12 tonight, or any Sunday school class, small group, whatever the setting is, we have to come intentional. Why? Because we're dealing with eternal things. And the most important thing is that all of us are growing up spiritually in our faith, that one day we will enter into that eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So all of our electives, whether it's the men's group right now that's been great, or the marriage group that we'll run again with a new curriculum, whatever it might be, our grief share, our divorce care, whatever, all what matters, every one of those souls yesterday, 1,000 families that received Thanksgiving, it's over 4,000 people, and every one of them has an eternal soul, and that's what matters to Central Assembly. That's what has to be what matters to us. Eternity. Bottom line, Peter reminds us here, we play a part, we must be intentional, and we share one common goal. And that's why I love my church. How about you today? Think about those that are beside you. All that are going to come in just a moment is we'll exchange places and you'll leave and they'll enter into these doors and we'll worship. Realize every one of them, don't you want all of them to go to heaven? Don't you want to go to heaven? Amen. Think of the person to your left and your right. See, that's Peter's burden. That's Peter's goal. And so he says, I want you to be diligent in this. And I want you to put everything you have into it. It's an eternal focus, because to Peter, it's a matter of life and death. To Peter, it is an eternal matter. And it's not something that we're just going to loaf until Jesus comes back, or just until our day comes, that moment arrives. No, it is that we are dealing with eternity. That is why every week when that missionary is flashed up on that screen, that we need to write that, oh, be praying, enter in that week and pray over them, because souls are at stake. It's every day we live. That's why as we walk out of these doors, our spiritual condition matters, but also the spiritual condition of every person we engage with in our neighborhood, in our oikos, as we often talk about, our sphere of influence. And if you say, well, I don't seem to know anyone within my oikos that really needs the Lord, or then you need to get another oikos. I think a few years ago, I so appreciated dear Montiel Peck, who went to be with the Lord early this year. But Montiel joined a bowling league, and she said, I bowl because those ladies, I want to reach them for Jesus. And I remember months later, she talked about how she said, the ladies are starting to open up to me, and they come to me. And I remember at her funeral service, we had a few bowlers here at that funeral service because of her influence. But her burden was, I want them to see Christ in me. She wanted to live adding to her faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. That's what all of us should have as our greatest desire, to love our church so that we can grow together spiritually with eternity in sight. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? If you would, just for a moment, to take a serious moment of consideration of your heart and your life, and then I'm going to invite you to come, and we're just going to have an opportunity to pick up one of these tags, and it's typically a $10 or $15 investment to bless one of these children. And how fun that is. Just feels so good to give. But you know, one of the reasons we do that is because of what Jesus has done for us. If there's anyone here in this early service today, you say, Jeff, I know the Lord, I know about Jesus, but quite honestly, I'm not living the way Peter is writing here to live. I'm not diligent on these things. It's way down the priority list for me. I'm going to ask you today to ratchet that way up. I'm going to ask you, by the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart right now, that you leave this room saying, I'm going to look at this text this week. I'm going to look at these 8 qualities. I'm going to determine in my heart, by God's grace, Lord, help me to grow in my faith. I'm going to join a small group. I'm going to be more faithful in an area. I'm going to be there. I'm going to receive teaching. I'm going to enter into worship. I'm going to be intentional about my growth in the Lord, because what's at stake is eternity. And I want to be welcomed someday into his eternal kingdom, as Peter writes here. That's why at this moment, almost every week, it's such an important moment. Because if there's anyone here and you say, Jeff, I've never received Jesus Christ into my heart. As we came to the communion table earlier and took the bread and the cup in our hands, and we thank Jesus for his body and his blood that was offered for us at the cross. That is the central focus of our faith. That's the central focus of Christianity. And all over the world in a 24-hour period, there are believers, hundreds of millions of believers that take that bread and cup and they celebrate that with us. And you today, if you need Jesus in your heart, I want to invite you that before you leave this room, you can say, Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and you too can be made a new creature in Jesus and begin this wonderful journey of growing in your knowledge of God and in walking with Jesus. Is there anyone here in this first service today, you say, Jeff, that is me. I want Jesus in my heart, and I want to ask him to forgive me of my sins. Is there anyone here? You put up your hand right now, and then just put it down. But let me see it. Just make sure that I see it. Is there anyone here? You say, I want to receive Christ right now into my heart. I want to go to heaven someday. I want to know him. I want to walk with him. I want a relationship with him. I believe that he died for me. Is there anyone in this early service? Put up that hand. Let me see it. Anyone at all? And then we'll pray together. Anyone? Just put up that hand. Anyone at all this morning? Give you just a moment. If you feel God tugging at your heart, then respond today. Anyone? Anyone, just quickly put up that hand. Anyone in this early service? Thank you, Lord. All right, then, with heads bowed and eyes closed, one more question, and then we will close. Without lifting your hand or anything, I just want to ask you, are you growing in Jesus? Because that's what Peter wants. Are you being diligent? Are you being intentional? Are you practicing these things? That means to make them a habit, to be living these out in your life. Look at that list. It's a powerful list. You might say, I'm really struggling in a few of those areas, Jeff. Then Peter tells us, let's be diligent. Be working. Be working to supplement your faith in these areas today. If there's an area in particular, maybe all of them, as we close in prayer right now, why don't we commit our hearts and lives to say, Lord, I want to grow in you. I want to grow in God, growing in the knowledge of God, adding these things to my life, being diligent as I pursue the call of God in my life, the election of God in my life. These eight qualities, these eight things. Let's stand together this morning, if you would. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, we're reminded that we can't walk out of these doors and then just passively live a Christian life. But Lord, you call us in your word to be diligent, to be active, to be pursuing. So Lord, I pray that you will take the seed of your word today now spoken. Maybe this week we would just spend some extra time in 2 Peter chapter 1, some extra time memorizing, walking through this list, Lord, looking at our lives, asking you, Lord, to evaluate where we're at with you, Lord, and how we're living our lives for your glory and your sake, Lord, I pray. Lord, I just ask that you would help each one of us then to be diligent, that we would grow in you, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if that is your desire to grow in Christ this week, could we all say amen together? Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you, if you would, as you leave today, to first come this way and then go that way. And Pastor Mike will be on this side and I'm going to be on this side. We'd love to greet you, but if you'd come and let's begin to take these tags and bless our children here nearby. Lord bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock prayer, 6 o'clock prayer service. Bless you as you go today.